Hey, does this mean we're going to get Skinner every time Greg comes on?
I think so. It's kind of become like his go-to music to introduce him, yeah.
What do you got here, Paulie?
Well, this is one of my favorite Skinner tunes. This one's called You Got That Right.
Well, Greg usually gets things right.
Totally. It's appropriate for Greg. Greg gets that right.
All right, before we welcome him, remind you that you're listening to KNBR and KNBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader at Cumulus Media Station. Greg, it appears... that we've stumbled into just an organic Skinnered rejoin for you every week.
There you go. I knew that after the first note that it was You Got That Right.
Yeah.
So, Greg, you and I are a certain age. You remember that show, Name That Tune? Remember that
show? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So you could say, I could name that tune in one note.
I could name that tune in one note. That's right.
I like that.
That's awesome. All right, how you doing? Things are well? Phillies made the playoffs, huh? Phillies
yeah,
made
the Phillies. Phillies make the playoffs. Yeah. I know. Yeah, they made it tonight. Aaron Nola went six perfect innings, and they made the playoffs.
And that means they're playing the St. Louis Cardinals, I believe, starting tomorrow. So, good luck.
It's weird that the playoffs start on a Friday. I was very confused by that.
Yeah, you know, baseball's a mess. They don't know what's going on. They don't know which way is up. They're adding layers. They're having they changing the formats every year, Greg. I mean, this is a whole new format. So, I mean.
I don't even know what the format is.
See? But, I mean, there you go. Yeah. I mean, you're a learned man, and you don't even know what the format is. So there you
go. I'm sure there's reasonable debate that smart people can have about this, but I, for one, am glad that the shift will not be in existence.
You know what?
Same here.
Know that I'm aligned with a man of your intellectual firepower. That makes me happy because I'm with you, buddy.
Yep.
I am with you, man. Okay, the shift. Did the 49ers shift on the Rams? There's my transition. How about that? Let's start with that defense. Greg, and
it's really good.
We're starting to salivate, and people are starting even four games in. People are starting to break out the stats and where they compare historically. So, big picture, when you look at these guys on film, I mean, what's working for these guys? Is schematically, or is it just physical talent? What's going on here?
Well, it's always a combination. I mean, obviously, no team for the most part just lines up and plays the same thing all the time. But I would say that they're. There's always nuance and detail, and there's no way that I can know certain things without being in their meetings, so I'm not going to sit here and say that it's a vanilla defense, but it's not a heavy blitz defense. Like, when you think of teams, the great defenses of the past, like the 85 Bears or the Ravens in 2000, they were much more exotic with their blitz concepts. The 49ers will blitz, and they use Warner, they use Lenore, they do some really good things. They're outstanding with stunts up front, which is not necessarily a blitz, but it's just a technique of pass rush with a penetrator and a looper. In fact, Bosa got a sack, I think it was his first one, off what we call a long stunt, where he looped behind two players, I believe. And so they're not vanilla, as I said, but they're certainly not heavy blitz. But the talent level is high. I think they played nickel, I believe, on every snap this week because of who they were playing. And I think we know about Warner, but I think Greenlaw is a really good player.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't get talked about much nationally because he plays with Fred Warner, who's arguably the best three-down linebacker in the league.
Yeah. So they're just gushing with talent and physical ability. The other thing we didn't talk about is the secondary. And that's been a problem here, Greg, and it appears – and this is without Jimmy Ward. It appears to be, right now, their best secondary in a few years.
I agree.
Well, and I would say, too, I mean, look, we've talked about Hufanga. He's playing at a really high level. But I think the Gibson signing was really important for them because Gibson has played in this league for a lot of years. He's been a really solid player. I remember a year or two, he might have been an all-pro because he had some really good seasons earlier in his career. And he's a veteran safety. He can play in the box. He can play on the back end. He's savvy. You can also line him up at times to match him up to tight ends, which is what the 49ers do at times. So he's basically a safety that can do multiple things. And he's just a solid pro. You know, I don't know him, so I don't know what he's like. But my guess is he's one of those guys that does it the right way because he's played a long time. And I don't think anyone would say he's got unbelievable physical talent, but he's been a really good pro for quite a number of years.
We've talked about on the show recently, we were talking about the concept of a journeyman in sports. And sometimes it's considered an insult, but it's people who can last, and he might fit that bill, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it does have a negative connotation for sure, but you're right. Normally, you don't say that about a guy unless in whatever sport they played for a long time. And then, you know, you have to have the respect for anyone who can play any professional sport for a long time. And I would I don't have Gibson's career in front of me right now, but I would say he's been in the league a good 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned Hufanga, and I want to just briefly focus on him because he's just flashing all over the place. I'm looking at last year's All-Pro team, and the two All-Pro safeties were Kevin Byard of Tennessee and Jordan Poyer of Buffalo. Is he in that sort of level? Is that what we're talking about here?
I mean, look, he's played four games this year, so is he playing at a really high level? Yes. I mean, Byard is a terrific player, and Poyer's been really, really good for a long time. But Hufanga is making a lot of splash plays. You know, through the first 3 weeks, he made a ton of plays in the run game where he'd either come off the edge or shoot through gaps and time things really, really well. Last week, obviously, the interception return, which was critical. It was a one-score game at that time. And even though the Niners seemed in control with physical domination, it was a one-score game. So, you know, you didn't know. So that play he made early in the fourth quarter was a phenomenal play of recognition and then execution, physical execution. But he's playing at a really, really high level. Don't forget, I believe he had an interception against Fields week one where he was a back-end player. I think he got a tip on that one, if memory serves me correctly. But the point is they move him around a lot. He's probably best closer to the line of scrimmage, but they do play him at times as a back-end safety as well.
And you mentioned the blitzes, and it's been my impression that the Niners for the last several years have just been, since Saleh and D'Amico Ryans are just a four down, they just rush four for the most part now, and that's, you know, allows them to do so much. Now,
right.
I did notice they said, according to the Chronicle breakdown of the film here, they sent an extra rusher on 17 of the 56 dropbacks. Where does that compare around the league?
You mean as far as, like, blitz?
Sending extra guys.
Yeah. How blitz-heavy are they compared to other teams? Because I don't think of them as a blitz team.
I would say that, you know, relative to the rest of the league, they're not a blitz-heavy team. I mean, I think if they would probably be in the bottom half, not the bottom third or the bottom five, but I would say if you're talking about blitz percentage, and that's what we're really talking about here, and usually that's talked about in terms of rushing five or more, mm-hmm. you know, because there are what we call zone pressure schemes where teams rush four, mm-hmm. and the fourth would be a linebacker or a D-back, but then they drop out a D-lineman, so it still is a four-man rush. It's hard to categorize that, you know, with websites. So normally people talk about it in terms of five or more. So they're in the bottom half when it comes to blitz percentage. They're not a heavy blitz team in that regard, no.
No, and they get by on it because they have such gifted pass rushers like Nick Bosa. But the thing is, too, Greg, is they played this game without Javon Kinlaw, and
yep.
Eric Armstead left the game halfway through. And we got guys like Kevin Givens, Samson Ebukam, and Charles Omenihu.
They're all stepping up, too.
Yeah.
I spoke about this the other night with the guys, but they have tremendous depth on the D-line. And I think that teams that are really good tend to have that. The Eagles have a lot of that. They're a good team right now. The Niners have that. I mean, guys they put out there, you know, Omenihu, he was a relatively high draft pick when he came in the league. He's long. He's athletic. You know, Hyder's been in this league a long time as a good player. Ridgeway, I remember watching him coming out of the University of Texas and thought he was a starter-type player. Now, he's probably fits the journeyman mold as well, but he's been around for a bit, and you certainly can line him up and play. So they've got a lot of guys besides the obvious names.
It's been a delight to watch, and it's funny because Kyle Shanahan is thought of as an offensive genius, and yet this team's riding its defense big time to its a big win on Monday night and hopefully one Sunday in Carolina. So a little bit about that offense. Jimmy, as Tim Ryan likes to tell us all the time, all he needs to do is deliver the mail, deliver the mail, deliver the mail. And did I read a stat that his release time was third fastest in the NFL this past Sunday? I mean,
yes.
I don't know if you get into
that's what they want it to be, because that's when he's at his best.
Yeah.
He is not a sit in the pocket late in the down quarterback. He's a timing rhythm player, and obviously Kyle Shanahan is really good at defining the reads and throws with the play design and the structures, but that's what Jimmy G is. The longer he sits in the pocket, the less effective he is. He's certainly not a movement quarterback, but, you know, it's funny what Tim Ryan said, and we all understand what that means, but when you get right down to it, that's theoretically what every coach is trying to do with their quarterback, no matter what their skill set is. You're, you know, in an ideal world, you want your quarterback to be a ball distributor and an executor. No coach says, you know what we're going to do today? You know, let's say it's Patrick Mahomes. You know what we're going to do today, Patrick? We're just going to snap the ball, and you're just going to run around. We're not going to really call any plays. We're just going to run around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no coach says that. Yes. So every coach wants the quarterback to be a ball distributor and an executor of an offense and a pass game.
Yeah,
Jimmy G just has nothing else to do beyond that, and there are you know, other quarterbacks that have things to do beyond that. But that's what you want the quarterback to be.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
As the great Ted Lasso said about Coach Beard, Jimmy G's like the mailman. He always delivers on time, and he looks great in shorts. That was the Ted Lasso line there. But anyway, he delivered it, and that's his strength, and that's what you've talked about a lot. The one guy he didn't deliver it to, and this is something that Eric Branch wrote about in the Chronicle today, and that's George Kittle.
I haven't seen him much in the first four games as a receiver.
He missed a couple of games there. So,
but he's blocking so much, Greg. Yeah. That's the thing, right?
Yeah, well, look, I think that will play out over time. I mean, don't forget, this was Jimmy G's second start, okay? He did not have an entire offseason nor a training camp. So this was his second start. So let's let that play out a little bit, and we'll see how it goes. You know, don't forget, they were totally in control of this game. When it got to be, later in the game, what did they want to do on third down? You know, they wanted to throw basically safe throws. I mean, look, you know, we can all talk about the 57-yard touchdown by Samuel, who's, you know, clearly the best receiver with the ball in his hands in the league. But what did they call on third and 13 in the fourth quarter? They called a tunnel screen to Samuel. You know, they're playing to their defense. They're playing somewhat conservatively on offense. Let's see what happens. No matter how good their defense is, guys, there's going to be a game. You never know which one it's going to be, where they're going to have to throw the ball a little more.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens, you know, with Kittle when that occurs.
Right. Kittle as a blocker, though,
is very good.
Showing well on film, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we know that. I mean, yeah, look, they're a running football team, and if you're going to run out of base personnel, which is what they do a lot of, then your tight end's going to have to block.
Hey, Greg, it's popped into my head talking about running football team. Just made me think about Trey Lance for a second, who's, you know, obviously out for the year and just hanging around the team, though. They say he's going to team meetings and stuff like that. I'm wondering, when you watch around the league, because you do 32 of these, and you're amazing that you can go into different markets and still have all this information.
I just make it up as I go.
Like you tell Mahomes, just run around and then something will happen.
I just make it up. I don't really watch tape, but I just come into my office, put my feet up and smoke a cigar. You know?
Right, that's it. And then try to figure out where the Phillies are playing. Try to figure out the MLB format. How many teams are doing that? Because as we continue to deal with the fallout of Trey Lance's injury, the RPO in between the tackles. So now we're at week five. How many teams are running their quarterback week in, week out, in between the tackles on RPOs?
I mean, I think the Bills come to mind. I think the Ravens come to mind. And they may not all be RPOs, but I mean, in terms of the quarterback running by design between the tackles, those would be two teams that would come to mind. You know, and I think you have to be careful about that, you know, and this is no knock on the Niners. You're trying to win football games. That's why the Bills do it, because they don't have a run game, and their best runner right now in terms of gaining yards is Josh Allen. We know what the Ravens are with Lamar, so, you know, they're a little different breed. I mean, that's not obviously commonplace around the league, but you're trying to win football games. No one as a coach says, you know what, let's maybe lose this week because we want to make sure that our quarterback is healthy in 5 years.
No, I get it.
No one says that.
No.
You know?
Yeah. It's interesting. I was just wondering if any teams were – the Bills and the Ravens are the ones that just keep coming
that
up.
Immediately to mind. I'd have to look at a list, but those are the two that come to mind.
So Kyler doesn't do that. Kyler Murray in Arizona doesn't do that.
No, well, he's only 5'10". I mean, yeah. Say what you want, and I know I'm sure that Kyle Shanahan came under fire, and I have no opinion one way or the other. He's trying to win games. But, I mean, Lance is 6'4", 2", whatever he is. Yeah. Kyler Murray is 5'10". You know, so...
Dak, when Dak's healthy, he's not doing that, is he?
No, not between the tackles necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I was just thinking... I'm just curious, that's all. I'm just kind of looking for information. So, all right, good stuff. Hey, now we got to talk about Sunday. And, Greg, I mean, on paper, this is like... Come on, it's the 32nd ranked offense, whether you're looking at traditional stats or new generation advanced analytics... They are the 32nd ranked offense against the number one defense. What could go wrong, right? I mean,
that's why the offense at some point, and believe me, Kyle knows this, but like I said, he's playing to win each game as it plays out.
Yeah, right.
You know, so if you were to talk to him, you know, in a moment of pure candor, if he's just going to talk about offensive football, he's going to tell you that in this league, to really be great and win a Super Bowl, you're going to have more of a pass game. He would tell you that, no question. But that's not really relevant when you're playing in a given game. You know, if they go to Carolina this week and all of a sudden they're winning 13-0 and it's late second quarter, you know, he's not going to toss the ball around the yard because there's no need to do that. You know, so he's going to play to his defense at that point and run the ball. You know, if all of a sudden crazy stuff happens and in the middle of the third quarter, it's, you know, 10-10 or Carolina's ahead 13-10, then that changes your view at that moment. But, you know, this is a team offensively that's really struggled. Their O-line is not very good. Mm. Baker Mayfield is, for whatever reason, not the quarterback he was a few years ago. Mm. He has not been anywhere near as consistently accurate. Mm. I mean, a few years ago, it looked like he was a really precise thrower because he throws a really good ball. Yeah. I mean, I have no coaches who've coached him who say he's a really good thrower, but he's just not been particularly accurate.
Yeah.
But their defense is pretty good, and it's not an easy defense to play against because it's very multiple in what they present.
Yeah, so I mean, Mayfield struggling against a great defense. I mean, is there any, if you're Carolina, if you're Matt Rhule, it's like, how are you, your best chance to score on these Niners? I mean, what weapons do you have? I mean, McCaffrey obviously, but
he's
not putting up the numbers, right?
Yeah, my guess is they'll probably show up to play, though, guys, don't you think?
Now he's going to show up. There's nobody on the other side.
Yeah, they didn't show. They just didn't come.
You know, look, they've got theoretically McCaffrey, who obviously has not put up big numbers this year. They've got DJ Moore, who's a very good receiver. Beyond that, not a lot of guys have really shown up this year in terms of production. You know, a guy like Robbie Anderson can run by you on any given play, so you got to be careful about that because the last thing you want to do when you play a team that's struggling on offense like this is give up big plays because then, you know, all of a sudden they get life and the game changes. So, you know, you want to make them for sure have to execute 12 plays in a row at a good level. You do not want to give up a 45 or a 60-yard touchdown. You know, so, and then again, I'm not saying anything profound, but that's the way you look at these games. You do not want to give up a big play. But no, and the O-line, that's a big issue for them. It's really a problem. Like you said, when you look at this game, just, you know, analyzing it, you know, 3 days before the game, you would think that the 49ers have a major advantage in that area. That's a true mismatch.
It really is. I'm almost just trying trying to figure out a way how to stay on edge for this Sunday. You know,
right,
I mean, it's
right.
Like,
well,
you know,
but you know, that's why they play them, guys.
That's
for
example, the Bears 49ers. I mean, I would have given you
great
the
example.
Niners winning that game 100 times out of 100.
Well, yeah, but that was a little different only because number one, you're playing with a quarterback that hadn't played very much,
right.
Lance,
right.
And you were playing in then really bad weather, and that changes a lot of things. So, you know, no, that wasn't a surprise to me that the Niners struggled on offense in that game.
One last one is just, is there anything, Carolina, you mentioned their defense, just what problems can they present for Jimmy in the run game and you know, and Kyle?
Well, they've got some really good players on defense, number one. And number two, Phil Snow's their D coordinator. He's been doing this a long time. They show you a lot of different looks. There's a lot of disguise. There's late movement. There's different blitz packages. Now, obviously, if the Niners can come out and run the ball and can control the tempo of the game and the down and distance, a lot of those things fall by the wayside. But if by chance they get caught up in a lot of third and longs, then you're going to see a lot of things from Phil Snow in that defense. And again, now you get into a situation where one or two turnovers and all of a sudden you got a close game. Because the last thing you want is in the fourth quarter to be in a game where you're playing pretty well, but it's 17-13, because then one play changes everything.
Well, come on, don't put that in the universe. Right? We're looking for 31-3 in the fourth quarter. All right,
well, of course we are, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, this is not a team that necessarily plays offense to be ahead 31-3.
And I know you don't. Anyway. I know, and I know you don't get into coaching decisions. But there was Twitter was angry when Kyle opted for the field goal up 14-9.
Well,
but it all worked out. It all worked out.
Yeah,
Hufanga scored and they got the win.
I mean, look, I understand that, but I understand his point of view, too. That makes it's still a one-score game, but it's, in a sense, a two-score game
because
you've got to get a two-point conversion. So, I think with this team, you're playing so that you can score whenever you can score because your defense is good.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave with the way this team is structured now. And again, maybe Jimmy G in 3-4 weeks is playing much better and more comfortable, and all of a sudden you feel like with the weapons they have that they can put up more points, and maybe that's the way it plays out. But right now, you do not want to leave points on the field. And I know the analytics people are probably telling me I'm an idiot, and that's okay.
I know.
And maybe because I'm a little older, they think, well, I'm out of touch. All that, that's fine. But that's just, my personal point of view, that you do not want to leave points on the field with this defense.
I'm with you, and I'm older like you, and I think we need to go do the show in Japan where they respect their elders, Greg. All right? That's my thing. We're going to do that. Bring the NFL to Japan. All right. Good stuff. Hey, by the way, the Phillies are taking a back seat to the Birds. Your Birds
know,
are 4-0.
I know.
What's going on, man?
The Birds are pretty good right now.
And they got the Cardinals this Sunday. They should beat them. Come on, man.
Well, they should, but again, they're playing in Arizona. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, I already see the face painters will be there. The Eagles fans will be there.
They'll show up, yeah.
So it's going to be in Arizona, not really. It's going to be in Philly in Arizona.
Philly West,
right. Well, and Glendale is what, 45 minutes from sort of Scottsdale and Phoenix?
It is, it's out there,
I've seen Eagles fans take it. The Eagles fans will invade a soft front line like the Glendale Stadium.
That's
there.
Why I think.
Well, they're probably out there tailgating now.
Oh, yeah, they're
probably started. They're on their way. Yeah.
You're the best, Greg. Can't wait for next week, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a good one.
He's just the best, man. He's the best.
I got to say, too, looking back, that's what I still think as far as the fan bases go. The Patriots playing the Eagles, you can't get any better as far as like two opposing fan bases in a Super Bowl.
Long been my contention. Having the best thing for me being a sports writer is getting to go to all the cities in America and being at different sporting events and seeing the fan bases, and it really comes down to Philly and Boston. It really does. It comes down to Philly. And I know New York's in the mix, but they're not. They're not in the mix. It's Philly and Boston.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.